As many of you know, the Costco project has a lot of interest. It is something that, especially, thank you, Mark, and who has really put out a lot of information regarding the upcoming Costco project. So there's a couple of things I want to say. The Costco project is a project that is not approved. It is not a done deal. So I want that to be very, very clear. It is going through the process, but it is not approved. So as we move forward, I definitely have been hearing from the community, and certainly I want to say, not only do I hear you, I know exactly what you're talking about. Because I go to the Smart and Final, I go to the Trader Joe's, I go to eat in the food court area, and I understand that even now, with the vacancies that are behind there, there are traffic issues and there are other issues. So I hear you, and I'm delighted that when something comes up, I hear from Mark, I hear from Ramesh, I hear from Roberta, in terms of keeping the lines of communication open. So I appreciate that tremendously. So thank you for that. I also think it's important to have clarity as to where we are. So today, I have asked the director of the planning department of the city of San Jose to say a few words. And I also communicate to him and his office in terms of what I hear in the community. So those channels are going, and he knows that I'm not shy about letting him know what the community says. So, and that's really important. It's really important to have those lines of communication be very, very clear. So with that, I really want to ask and thank Chris Burton, who is the director of planning, to come and share the city's perspective on what is happening with Costco.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Good morning, everybody. I'm Chris Burton. I'm the Director of Planning, Building, and Code Enforcement for the city. I got a call from the Vice Mayor yesterday, wasn't aware of this meeting happening, but wanted to swing by and really, you know, just talk a little bit about process. Obviously, this is a project that a lot of people are focused on. There's a lot of concern and interest. And, you know, from the city's perspective, and certainly within PBCE, our focus is often on and very much on community engagement whenever we do any kind of development project. When you see any of the sort of significant work that we do, we always start and kind of lead with that process. So I actually really appreciate hearing that we have a lot of community interest. So often we go through these projects and it's right at the end when the conversation starts. So we always sort of try and take this as an opportunity to engage and to hear the concerns that are coming from the community. Now, obviously, there's a lot of history related to this site and a number of different moving parts as we consider our process and as we look at the development as a whole. It is a retail site that exists. So there is some context and consideration for retail at this location. And the way that the city judges uses and the way we analyze an application that comes in of this type is not to necessarily look at the specifics of the user, right? We look at retail more broadly. And this is an area that allows a wide range of retail that applies not just to sort of the local neighborhood to the broader neighborhood. And so within that, we're using the general plan, the zoning code, all the city's plans and policies to really assess the development in that context. And then we're guiding it through that CEQA process as well that does a lot of the deeper analysis around some of the specifics of impacts to the surrounding area. What I'll say is we're actually still relatively early in that process. We've received the application. There's been a couple of back and forths on the comments from the city staff that are looking at sort of each of those individual pieces. The preparation of the environmental impact report is underway. A lot of the analysis that'll be done through that process will really sort of look at some of these detailed specifics. I know there's a lot of concern and a lot of questions around the future of Graves and the access to that street. It's something that obviously we're still working through from a sort of standard review standpoint. As we look at various different elements of a project, we're looking for nexus, right? What is the city's ability to require certain things? So under the existing policies and rules within the city, there's not a sort of strict nexus to say close graves just, you know, by the letter of the law. That's not to say it's not going to happen. These things are really a negotiation, right? It's an ongoing process by which we're working with the community, with the applicant, as city staff, with the vice mayor, to understand all of the different perspectives and kind of bring that to bear. This project, typically, had it not had the environmental requirement, was it not selling alcohol, if it didn't have late night uses adjacent to residential, wouldn't be required to go to city council, wouldn't even go to planning commission. But because it has those different components, it is actually going to go through both the planning commission for a recommendation and then ultimately for city council for final approval. So that actually gives us a lot more leeway and a lot more opportunity for ongoing discussion. And I think that's really where we're at this point, is we've done the initial analysis. We've done our assessment to say, okay, this is where we stand from a plans and policy perspective. Now let's get all the input, let's have the conversation, and then we can continue to guide this project before it reaches City Council for an ultimate decision. So that's the sort of the update. I can answer any questions around that. I may not have all the specific answers. Certainly can refer you back to our project staff that can dive in on any of the specific things.
Yeah, Gary Smith of the English Estates neighborhood. And at the last meeting, I heard a comment about the lighting, which concerns me because the lighting today that's going in, first of all, is LED lighting, which is like as bright from a reliable source as about a third or maybe a fourth as the sun. So it's extremely bright. So I heard a comment at the last meeting that, oh, this is like blissful lighting or something. I even think something like that is posted publicly. So I urge you to really delve into that. Now light fixtures can be designed so that the light is blocked going up. Yes, that is possible. But cars are going to come in that are going to be white, for example. That light that's LED, that's a third as bright as the sun, we'll say, is going to come down off of those white colored cars. It's going to reflect up and out and all over the place. And this particular building with this rooftop lighting, if it goes through, will be the first one in the United States. So I'm extremely concerned about that. So I just wanted to bring that out.
Thank you for that. And absolutely, that's one of the things that we're definitely looking at as part of the project. Some of our initial comments addressed lighting and asked for changes around that, but I appreciate the feedback. I think we'll take that back and make sure we're integrating that into our review.
Hi, it's Susan Nye. I'm from Moorpark Meadows. I haven't seen anything that looks like a traffic study. And having lived here for a long time, and been overjoyed when 280 finally got opened up so that Saratoga was a little relieved. I'm not exactly enthusiastic about having such a complicated, huge place where the traffic is going to be a nightmare. And I cannot envision a Costco there in a neighborhood area that isn't going to make traffic an absolute craziness. So what is exactly happening with the traffic patterns?
Yeah, so there's a couple of aspects of how we analyze traffic. So firstly, we take it into consideration through the environmental process. Now, what I'll say is the way we did traffic 4 years ago now was different to the way we do it today because the state standard for traffic analysis for CEQA has changed. So now instead of looking at level of service, so the sort of flow of traffic through intersections, we now look at what's called vehicle miles traveled, which is the there's an analysis of how many trips are generated by a specific use. And I won't get into the technical specifics, but so that's the CEQA piece. There is still sort of aspects of that take into consideration safety and operations. within the traffic report, but then also as we do the review through the typical review process, our Department of Public Works is looking at traffic operations and how that will flow within the area. And to the extent that there are issues and sort of impacts that are identified through that analysis, we ask for changes or contributions to modifications of intersections around the area. So that works ongoing through the process. It's part of that development review process.
Well, I don't see analyzing it before you, that it's after you've added hundreds of cars going in and out that you get absolute gridlock at that. And the combined efforts of either the synagogue and the church or the high school, whichever one you want to have, get out, is just, it's going to be absolutely awful. So, I mean, I just think it's too, a place that generates too many vehicles for the area to be able to continue to have a reasonable flow of traffic around there. And that's the analysis that I would like to see.
Yes, I just thank you for being here today. It's nice to meet you. Amy Cody with the Moreland West Neighborhood Association. I do think that the vehicle miles traveled analysis through CEQA is, you know, insufficient for a project like this. Of course, it's going to find, you know, it's going to cut down on vehicle miles travel because people aren't driving to the other Costcos. But I just wanted to say, I mean, Costco is a car generating business unto itself, and it's not happening in a vacuum either. Just please know that this is coming on the tail of the El Paseo signature project, which was not handled well from a planning perspective. I mean, it had and it continues to have a lot of issues. We were told as a community, it's highly dense, and the community, you know, tried to rally and say, oh, let's support up to 8 stories. It's really, really high. We are not a major transit hub. We don't have a BART station, you know, whatever. We will support as much as we can. And we know that we're gonna have 10, 11, 12 story buildings there. We know that in that same block, Saratoga said, well, since San Jose has 12 stories, let's go 10 stories. It's a lot of jurisdictions, County Road, Saratoga, San Jose, Campbell is also having a big housing element project coming in fairly close by. Anyway, there needs to be some real coordination and some planning toward the traffic in that area. But here's the thing, like we were told with El Paseo, so dense, we were told this area is going to become a pedestrian friendly, transit oriented urban village. And to us, a Costco, which was known, a Costco there coming on the heels of El Paseo is antithetical to that vision. But we don't have an urban village plan for our Westgate area, which is a real disadvantage. So there's just a lot of concern. And of course the high school is right there too. And I have a student at the high school. I have to travel past the future Costco site every day. I mean, there are all sorts of efforts that parents make to go around to avoid that traffic, right? I mean, the commuters all avoid that traffic. It's only a few times a day, but it's massive. And my kids can't safely cycle a half a mile to the high school, which that's part of, you know, what we want, right? A pedestrian friendly, you know, bicycle, cyclist friendly, transit-oriented village. So anyway, please consider that. Costco does not make sense as part of that vision.
Doris Livesey from the Murdoch Neighborhood Association. I was wondering how many times when they do a traffic study, how many times a day they go in, do they pick just one time? So often, what we see as a result, like the one at El Paseo, where one car is going to be leaving, one car will even go down Saratoga Avenue, which is just so absolutely hysterical. We all can't believe it. but that's what the study came out with. Also wondering if you can use two different businesses. Hexagon doesn't seem, I mean, they're there and they know they're there and they just seem like they just do what they want. I don't think they give a good estimate of what the traffic is going to be in that area.
Yeah, there's a lot there. there's a lot of detail that goes into how we do traffic analysis. It generally does consider different sort of points in the day. However, that analysis tends to focus around peak hour, which is sometimes how we get results that don't that seem antithetical to what you experience on the ground. The consultant issue is a challenging one. You know, for just the extent that consultants are available to do the work, we continue to sort of look for opportunities to expand that pool and find more consultants that are available. The city's undertaken some changes recently on how we work with CEQA consultants, and we've in some ways narrowed that. So now, and not necessarily specific to transportation consultants, but the sort of overarching CEQA consultant, we actually reduced the list. So there are now 13 consultants that are specified that you can use for analysis of the project. And the intent is to actually bring the level of that analysis up and provide more consistency. Obviously, you know, we rely on consultants to do a lot of the work around CEQA, but we have a really good staff internally, both within PBC, within the planning department, but then also within our Department of Transportation and our Department of Public Works. And they're reviewing and analyzing all the work that goes into that. So, we do take that into consideration. We do ensure that as documents are submitted to the city, that we do our own review alongside that to ensure that it's the right information and it's collected in an appropriate way.
You know that.
Happy to sort of take that conversation offline and sort of, you know, there are sort of limits on the way that we do analysis, versus the kind of experience that you'll see on the ground, and certainly understand the kind of conflict that exists there.
So I did have a question myself. I'm Steve Ling from Strawberry Park. While I'm headed to the other questions, what is the current status on Graves? I'm trying to understand. So is it now planned for that to be an access road, or is it not?
So we're not requiring the closure of access to Graves at this time as a part of the sort of project comments. That's not to say that it may not occur. It's just part of the ongoing conversation with the applicant.
So how do we make that occur?
Based on the sort of plans, policies, the rules that are in place, you know, we don't have a nexus to ensure, right, to say you cannot move forward with this project unless you close that now. So it has to be part of that ongoing back and forth and that discussion with the applicant. Now, obviously, as we bring forward a project to whichever hearing authority, in this case, the City Council, we're looking for how do we bring all parties together? So how do we engage in the community feedback so we can make a recommendation for approval of the project? And so that's part of the direct feedback that we're giving back to the applicant about the concerns that we hear from the community and sort of, you know, the concerns that we understand and the potential issues that we see here so that they can hopefully design to that solution rather than sort of requiring it through the process.
Okay, got it. There was a question here.
We just want to be part of the discussion and have open communication and not have it shoved down our throat like it's happened in the past. So when people with planning, traffic, public works, any of these people do their analysis, are they required by any law to physically come out and observe in the location? Or is it just done by looking at maps and grids?
So in reality, it's done through a combination of things. We do come out and analyze the existing condition. It's not just a case of this is what we assume based on the numbers and modeling. There is modeling involved in this, though. And so the analysis has changed over time. But I'll tell you, to your point about open conversation, the last 3 years through the pandemic, we've become hermits. You certainly aren't seeing us as much. And so that's something we're trying to rectify now to ensure that we're getting out into the community and we are a little bit more visible and that we create the space for those conversations. because I know that's a concern that we're hearing on a repeated basis. So we're working to address that piece. There are some aspects, but some of it is very technical that does occur sort of at a desk.
Understood, but Graves Avenue, Costco, El Paseo, this whole triangle of West Valley needs to have a big picture and not just a tunnel vision. What we saw with El Paseo was a tunnel vision, and it's not looking into the future that this is going to look like downtown Manhattan. We do not want that. We want progress. We want change. We're open to ideas, but we do not want a Costco jammed down our throat. We don't need it. We've already had two kids hit by in front of Prospect High School. Traffic came out and did a nice analysis, and we got some changes. But that's only yards away from Lawrence, a county road, city roads, multiple jurisdictions, and no one was talking to one another. We cannot have that. We want to support Rosemary as the decisions are made in our urban village. Please include us.
I just want to make a quick comment since Chris is here. There is that $400,000 for planning for an urban village. A site has not been chosen, but I think that hearing from you and knowing that the intensity of development, the potential in that whole triangle area is like right in front of us, I'm just encouraging that in terms of a potential site, to start some planning for an urban village where the community will have plenty of participation might be something that we can think about.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for being here. My name is Ron Tietze, Country Lane, and I'm in concurrence with everyone's issues that they're concerned about on this. And certain things, like Amy said, as far as our definition of an urban village, we don't see that warehouse anywhere in that. So some of these things are pretty obvious. There was a few things that I had noticed, and one of them recently, our new mayor had commented about homelessness as it is being one of the most critical issues, and the senator also commented about that. And in the statement, he quoted saying, I've got to remember how I got all of these together, but he said, let me back up a second. First, Chappie Jones had said two things. That Costco is a car magnet, and just because we can do it doesn't mean we should. And that was a comment about the hotel on Winchester that evidently at this point is no longer happening yet. But the other one with the mayor, he'd said, we need to take a common sense approach to this in dealing with homelessness. And it just frazzles me to even think that there's anything that you're not taking a common sense approach when you've got something on your desk and a problem you're trying to solve, that somehow logic and common sense has to play into it. So the Costco, of course, does not fit on this site in any way, shape, or form. And I won't tell you all the reasons I have right now, but if you've got a couple minutes afterwards, I wouldn't mind talking to you about that, because you've probably heard them all before, but I wouldn't mind reiterating all of it. I'll make it short, though. I'm going to pass this along now, because I'll keep going here with this. As far as Graves, one of the other comments about that, other than what's been already said, the easement that is there right now off of Saratoga Avenue to go in behind the townhouses and the... There's a sign right there that says that no access onto Graves. The semi-trucks are supposed to come in there. So once they go in, how are they supposed to come out?
Yeah, so I don't have the specifics on that one, but certainly that's something that...
And they've abused that forever.
Yeah.
Nobody enforces that. It was put up there for a reason to begin with. And Ramesh, who's not here at the moment, I think you may have heard the name, is also... has from all the way back some years ago, it was determined that if any major square footage was added in there, that Graves Avenue was going to be closed off. It would be something I don't know if you're familiar with that particular, yeah.
Yeah.
I know I'm not trying to preach to the choir here, but for all of us, we're just very puzzled. I've invited I don't know how many people from the city who have responsibility ultimately for this, to come meet me out there, because to me, looking at a piece of paper and trying to see what reality of this is going to do, come on out, let's talk about this and see exactly where this building's going to be, how it's going to front, and what it's going to do to the to that community and the neighborhood, aside from the traffic issues that everybody's talking about, because it's not hundreds of cars, it's thousands of cars a day that goes to Costco. There, I don't think there's another retail outlet that draws more traffic anywhere, probably in the world, than a Costco store. And I'd like to know who it is, if there is, but we all know that it's pretty incredible. So I'll stop there, and thank you again for coming.
All right, we also, I don't know, at some point, Mark, did we want to transition to your, I think you had some slides you wanted to show. We'll finish a couple more questions here. I think Chris was up next.
So with this whole Costco project and that Prospect, Saratoga, Lawrence Expressway area, you know, we can, from our neighborhood and our experiences over there in District 1, Santana Row Valley Fair area, I could see a lot of parallels to what these people are going to be challenged with as a community, you as the people in planning, right, the D1 office. Everybody's going to have a lot of the same challenges, and once the project is built out, they're going to be experiencing the same kind of problems that we are over in our area, and a lot of that has to do with the implications of traffic and traffic not being properly managed once projects are built out. With the Pulte project only being halfway built out, you know, we have yet to see what the full impact of those traffic ramifications are going to be down the line, right? And so this is an urban village issue. We've had a lot of unfulfilled, there's a lot of urban village problems that still have not gone identified, and I'm talking basic infrastructure, looking at parking spaces, looking at traffic flow, things of that nature, where it's the responsibility of the city departments to see those things through and make the adjustments. And quite frankly, in a lot of ways, we've seen those failures, even though we've tried to inject ourselves into the processes and get things moving. These people will certainly have to look forward to the same kind of problems. And a lot of that has to do with the way the urban village planning process went and how a lot of community concerns were voiced and documented, but then yet the urban village staff, being Michael Brio and Leslie Xavier at the time, they arbitrarily set building heights or other parts of the urban village plan, right? They arbitrarily set those points in opposition, or not necessarily opposition, but differing from what the urban village planning group had stated. And I'm talking the Stevens Creek Advisory Group that I'm on, the Winchester Advisory Group that Daphne was on. So the city getting it right in the planning process and the city following through thereafter with the proper traffic management scenarios, incorporating the right traffic management technologies, right, and working with the people to solve those urban village problems down the line, you got to get it right from the get-go and follow through getting it right thereafter. And we've not seen it in our area. You know, some ways it's been kind of met, more ways kind of not. And all those things compound themselves to the bigger picture problem that exacerbates over time, because we can't get departmental engagement to get the right things. How are you going to solve that for these people moving forward?
So I had 1 minute more. I should have consulted my notes. And I'm in total agreement, because any decision you make now, we live with for the rest of our lives. I've lived here basically all my life. Okay, Southern California used to be our barometer for what you do wrong. We watched their traffic, we watched their pollution, we watched everything, and then we watched this area grow like crazy. But right now, this the Assembly and Majority Leader Eloise Reyes has a bill, AB 2840, down there that no warehouses of 100,000 square feet or more get placed within 1,000 feet of a sensitive receptor. And so I'm just saying, once again, they've realized the mistakes they've made down there. Can we not learn by that and not follow what Southern California has done for years, that slowly but surely it's taken over up here too? So it is this planning issue. That's everything, because then we're stuck with it one way or another. Thank you.
I'm sorry, that was 2840? 2040. 2840. Yeah. It's... We'll track it down. There's so much moving through the state right now. It's almost a full-time job just to keep up with. Yeah. It's interesting to take a look and see what they're talking about.
Give some people room to breathe. Oh.
One second. Where's the sign-in sheet? And she was going around.
It went down this way.
We didn't get it over here. Okay, let's keep this going around. Sorry, thank you.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Gimmerin with the San Tomas Park Neighborhood Association. Years ago, I had to promise my family that I would not ride my bicycle down Campbell Avenue Prospect and through that area because so many people have been killed by cars. So I don't do that. Costco, to me, is a regional draw, and I'm thinking in terms of what is our local community. So I don't know how planning works, but I think there's a big difference in that, whether it's a local shopping district, urban village, or whether it's a regional site. And a regional site with all the cars drawn needs to be next to a freeway or some kind of mass transit. And that, I think, is why a lot of people here don't agree with Costco coming to the neighborhood, because it is not near a freeway. So my question to you is, can you or whoever is appropriate at the City of San Jose produce and show us maps where we have the current transportation systems for this area from Saratoga at 85, Lawrence, Saratoga Avenue to 280, and Prospect to De Anza, and Campbell Avenues. That whole area, it's regional, so people are going to be coming in from all those. So can you show us maps of what is existing transportation situation and alternatives of what you see in the future? I'm wondering, what is the vision for the City of San Jose for transportation in this area? Can you show us that in maps that, you know, delineate? We all use the maps, right?
Yeah.
That delineate what we have now, and then what, with different alternatives of this Costco and the Paseo, El Paseo developments going in, what is that going to look like? Is it something that's just being put off? Or is it part of the planning, part of the vision, and part of what we can expect? I'm not going to ride my bicycle down there. In fact, I already avoid the place driving at this point. So what is the vision, and can you show us maps to demonstrate these?
And by sort of maps, are you talking about the sort of physical improvements in the roadway infrastructure, or are you talking about performance of the streets and how they're actually moving
vehicles? I'm talking about use. Yeah, I don't know the language, planning language, you know, but I know people ride their bike, they drive their cars, they take buses. We don't have mass transit over here. Is there a plan to put it in? Is there a plan to put a rail line through? Is what are the, you know, these are not things that are done at the last minute. They're done long term. What is an overlay of what VTA has planned? What is an overlay of how light rail is affected? Will it come over here at all? Or is that it? Is what goes through downtown Campbell and Winchester, is that the only thing we're going to get? You know, you guys are the planning people. So what is your vision? What are the plans for the future for transportation in this area? If we had maps we could look at and say, okay, as a person who wants to go shopping there or wants to go to a movie or to dinner, I can get there how? How can I get there? How can I invite my friends? How are they going to get there? You know, practical things. But usage. And I'm sure all the other things that you guys look at could be in there, you know, could all be in there, right? That's what maps are about, is information. But so that we can see, okay, we can all look at it and say, commonly understand, this is the current situation. And these are different things that can happen, say, to mitigate if a Costco goes in there, if El Paseo is built, to mitigate 10,000 more cars, 50,000 more cars, or not. Remove the cars by bringing in some kind of rail option, by bringing in, what are they doing on El Camino, the expedited buses.
The bus rapid transit.
What do you have in mind? I mean, you want to do development, but it's not all about building buildings. You know, it's a whole infrastructure and flow. And so I'm just asking, can you show us maps of what you have now and what maybe a few different options it might look like in the future?
Yeah, so it's a really good question, and it just highlights one of those challenges I think we have, because a lot of that information does exist currently. It's often just in different places, and it doesn't always connect together in a way that's sort of understandable and accessible. So that's one of those things that I think we need to do better about. When we think about sort of transportation planning more broadly, and there's a considerable amount of transportation planning that goes on throughout the city, most of it sort of comes through our Department of Transportation, and we partner very closely with them as we think about sort of long-term sort of bigger changes to areas of the city. As we look at those solutions, they sort of occur at different parts of the conversation. So obviously major infrastructure investments like light rail or any kind of rail or even bus rapid transit occur at a much sort of higher level. They're a bigger conversation because of the burden of an individual project to provide just that one piece of connectivity is very challenging, right? So we sort of have to take that longer range approach. And that's why we do have a lot of those longer sort of visioned transportation plans that are out there and are, you know, fairly consistently worked on.
So for time, we're going to have to move on.